So reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 14. Aham Vaishnava Bhutva Praninam Deha Ashritya Pranapana Samayukta Pachamyanam Chaturvidam Aham, I, Vaishvanara, my plenary portion as the digested, as the digesting fire, Bhutva, becoming, Praninam, of all living entities, Deham, in the bodies, Ashritya, situated. Prana, the outgoing air. Apana, the downgoing air. Samayukta, keeping in balance. Pachami, I digest. Anam, foodstuff. Chaturvidam, the four kinds. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. I am the fire of digestion in the bodies of all living entities, and I join with the air of life, outgoing and incoming, to digest the four kinds of foodstuff. Purport. According to Ayurvedic Shastra, we understand that there is a fire in the stomach which digests all food sent there. When the fire is not blazing, there is no hunger. And when the fire is in order, we become hungry. Sometimes, when the fire is not going nicely, treatment is required. In any case, this fire is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic mantras, Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 591, also confirm that the Supreme Lord or Brahman is situated in the form of fire within the stomach and is digesting all kinds of foodstuff. Ayam Agnir Vaishnaro Yo Yam Antak Purushe Yenedam Anam Annam Pachite. Therefore, since he is helping the digestion of all kinds of foodstuff, the living entity is not independent in the eating process. Unless the Supreme Lord helps him in digesting, there is no possibility of eating. Thus he produces and digests foodstuff. By his grace we are enjoying life. The Vedanta Sutra 1.2.27 is also confirmed. Shabda Dibyo Nanta Pratishtanach Cha. The Lord is situated within sound and within the body, within the air, and even within the stomach as they digest the force. There are four kinds of foodstuff. Some are swallowed, some are chewed, some are licked up, and some are sucked. And he is the digestive force for all of them. So the text again. Aham Vaishparano Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashitya Pranapana Samayukta Pachamnyanam Chaturvidam. I am the fire of digestion in the bodies of all living entities. I join with the air of life, outgoing and incoming, to digest the four kinds of foodstuff. The Bhagavad Gita is practical, much more practical than modern society. Because according to Bhagavad Gita, Anad Bhavati Bhutani Parjana Anasambhava Jagna Bhavati Parjanyo Jagna Karma Smudvavan. That all living entities subsist on food grains. So we can take everything else away from us, but we can still, well, practically speaking, when we talk about food grains, we talk about, of course, edibles, but we also eat air. When we're breathing, we're eating air. We also eat with our minds when we digest thoughts. And we also digest vision. When we look the eyes are also fire organ. We digest images with our eyes, actually with our brain. But so digestion is, basically speaking, what this body is made of. It's made for fire, for digesting things. If we don't digest things, then we disappear. Even Dhruva Maharaj, first he stopped eating, then he stopped taking water, then he stopped breathing. And then he stopped looking externally and only looked in his heart at the Supersoul. So Krishna says, Aham Vaishnava Budva, that he is the fire of digestion. And therefore, from the material point of view, digestion is the most valuable thing we have. Because you can have millions of dollars or billions of dollars, but if you can't digest your food, then one will disappear very shortly, and the billions of dollars will not help. It says that in the youth, people sacrifice their health to get wealth, and when they get older, they sacrifice their wealth to get health back. So health is considered very important. And health depends upon fire. Because fire means transformation, and obviously when you look in the mirror, you don't see a big carrot. I hope not. Because that carrot has to be transformed into our different, whatever cells we have in the body have to be transformed, or else we can't survive. Because there are so many cells disappearing, and so new cells have to be created, and they're created by the fire of digestion. As it says, when we eat something, the first transformation is called lymph, or chyle. And when it's not transformed into chyle or lymph, what is it called? What does it come out as? And what's the principle ama comes out of? Oh, the mouth. Mucus. So indigested food comes out as excessive ama. And from the child comes, what's the next transformation? From lymph, what comes? Just see, we have this body which we think is us. We have no idea how it works. Blood, yes, rakta. And from blood comes what?
Muscle.
Yes, and from muscle comes? Comes fat, maitas. Mamsa, maitas, and then from maitas comes blood marrow. Bone marrow. Maitas. And from the marrow comes what? No. Bone. Asti. And from asti comes reproductive fluid. And from that comes what? We have no idea what's going on here. We're just happy if we can eat. Whatever happens after that is all right. Ojas, yes, ojas. So ojas, how do we know? Ojas contains within it two other elements known as agni or tejas and prana. So ojas is like the container, and it contains the energy, prana, and the fire, tejas or pitta or agni. And this provides the fire, because everything requires transformation. To go from something we eat to transform it into lymph requires transformation. It just doesn't happen magically. It requires a chemical process of transformation. And isn't it amazing? You can take a carrot and turn it into lymph. And then imagine if the scientists could just take lymph and turn it into blood. They can't do any of these things. They just talk about how life comes from matter, but they can't even make one leaf. They can't do anything. They can't make a flower. They can't do anything. All they can talk about how life comes from matter, but they can't transform any matter into life in any form, even an element of matter. So everything requires transformation, requires a certain set of agnis. So there are many, many different types of agni within the body. And for every dhatu, there's an agni dhatu. And for every time the agni dhatu doesn't work, or even then you get a disruption in the digestive process, and the next dhatu doesn't form. Dhatu means support. So if the next dhatu doesn't form, then we get, like for instance, if lymph isn't formed, then we don't get blood, and blood is energizing. Without a proper amount of blood, you feel weak. So blood is stimulating, and then from blood comes muscle. And muscle gives support. If we didn't have any muscle, then we couldn't do anything. It gives us strength to do things. And from muscle comes fat. What does fat do? Makes us look big. What's that? Warmth. Yes, it makes us warm. Gives protection. Insulation. That's why people who are really fat, they don't get cold so easily usually. They don't need so many coats because they already have a coat. They're coated. And usually they're content. People who are lean and thin, they're usually hungry all the time. They have this mean, hungry look. But people who have a little extra weight, they feel quite satisfied. Because they know they're not going to starve to death because they have a little extra to digest already. They have a little supply, a storehouse. And from fat comes bone marrow. What does bone marrow do? It fills up the bones. And bones supply structure to the body. Spineless wonder. Without bones, there's no structure. And the bone marrow gives some support, you could say, it fills, so it makes things meaningful. And then from there comes Shukra and Artava, which is long-term support, long-term creativity. Either can create a child, or that energy can also create a painting or other things, or a spiritual movement. And then from there comes Ojas. And how do you know if you have a lot of Ojas? If Ojas is prominent? Yeah, you're bright. When people lose their Ojas, they look very pale, they lose their energy, they don't look very encouraged. And Ojas supplies the nourishes all the other elements within the body along with Tejas and Prana, and so it's the basis of the immune system. When people have strong Ojas, negative vibrations don't affect them so much. Sometimes if our Ojas is depleted, everything agitates us. And when we have strong Ojas, nothing agitates us. Because all the negative vibrations can't enter. Ojas is the first line of defense. The second line of defense is the skin. And then we have the intestines internally. Because the intestines keep the food that we're digesting before it's transformed to something usable away from the inner parts of the body. So, one good thing is not to take, put things into your body which are not digested. Like, for instance, vaccinations. Because you're putting something that wasn't digested, so the body can't recognize it. Doesn't know what to do with it. It's like eating an apple, swallowing an apple. The stomach, what is it going to do with it? It can't do anything with it. Because it wasn't meant to just, we're not meant to swallow food, we're meant to chew it. So, what to speak of when you put things that are actually toxic into your body, that it doesn't even go through the digestive system. So digestion is very important, and therefore this idea that you can become immune from a disease by ingesting some toxic chemical into your body, it makes no sense. Something that's going to kill you is going to make you immune from disease. Because according to Ayurveda, the definition of food is that which you can digest. And the digestion of medicine is what helps you digest the food. And the definition of poison is that which you can't digest. So if we put something in the body which is indigestible, then that's poison. So if one thinks I'm going to become healthy by taking poison, well, there's a lot of dead people who thought like that. So it is a question of common sense that if we want to be healthy, we have to make sure. I mean, everyone knows no one gets healthy if you eat too much. Of course, in the beginning when we join the Hare Krishna movement, they tell you, you should eat so much that you waddle like a duck. Maybe for the first couple of weeks you can get away with it. And then after that you will waddle like a duck. If you can get up. But actually, everyone knows when we eat less and the fire digestion gets stronger, then we feel better. We're more alert. We're actually healthier. And when we eat too much, then after a while we get lethargic, we can't digest, our tongue becomes coated, we can't concentrate, etc., etc. So digesting is very important. And Prabhupada said, if you're an elephant, you should eat like an elephant. And if you're an ant, you should eat like an ant. But if you're an elephant, you try to eat like an ant, you're going to have problems. And if you're an ant, you try to eat like an elephant, you'll also have problems. So Krishna says, yukta hara viharasya yukta cheta sukarmasu yukta swapna vibodasya yoga bhavati dukaha. That the yogi doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. One who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, work, and recreation can mitigate all the material pains by practice through the yoga system. So the point is that digestion is, eating is the first thing. Takshi Krishna Namadi Nabraved Grayam Indriyai Seva Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Evas Bratida. That no one can realize Krishna with his imperfect senses. But when one becomes purified by using his tongue in the service of Krishna, then when Krishna is revealed to the devotee. So this eating is very important. By what we say and what we eat is very important. So therefore, if we eat what we can digest, and we eat the right food and the right consciousness, then the result is it's very easy to practice devotional service. And if we eat too much or eat too little, then our material health goes down, and unless one is a very advanced devotee, then it's very difficult to practice, to concentrate. We know after we eat a feast, like yesterday, was it yesterday? The day before, yes, also yes, but the day before yesterday was a fast day. At least some of us, we concentrate during the fast day, we're more concentrated on our stomach than we are on Krishna. We feel the presence of our stomach more than we feel the presence of the holy name. And then after we eat, then we're also concentrating on the stomach, but in a different way. So therefore we have to be careful not to eat. In general, we can't eat too little or eat too much. We eat what we can digest. And how big is the stomach? Does anyone know? Yes, two handfuls. It's not that big. Our imagination is that big. But if you consider how big the stomach, I mean, where else, how big could it be? Where would it fit if it was any bigger than that? Two handfuls. And how many here, every meal they only take two handfuls of food? Because although our stomach is this big, but our desire is much bigger. Matter of fact, it's bigger than our body. Anyhow, devotional service is transcendental. It defies, it could be beyond the material nature. Still, we should use a little intelligence and reason so that at least we should chew the food. So that if something goes down there, if it fits down there, at least the stomach will be able to try to digest it. And if we can digest it, then our material life will be successful. Material life doesn't depend upon how much money we get, how famous we become, how athletic we are. It depends upon how well we can digest our food. That's our material success. And we can do that, then it's easier to become spiritually successful because it's easier to concentrate the mind on Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
There are so many diets. So many healthy food.
What's that? Healthy food?
We can follow so many diets. Because you spoke about also digestion now. How we can know which diet is best for us?
Best for us?
Yeah.
Well, everybody, we were born with a certain balance of the doshas, vata, pitta, and kapha. It's like if you have a body that's always warm, is your body usually warm all the time? It's cold all the time? So if you have a body that's always cold all the time, then there's a natural tendency to want to eat food which is hot, warm. So that's the first thing we know. I'm cold, so I should eat something hot. And if I had a body which is hot, then I should probably, I'm inclined to eat food that's cold. If I have a constitution, for instance, of kapha, where I'm naturally I gain weight all the time, I have my own storehouse, then I don't have to eat so much. Because I already have enough food, enough fat, enough energy in my body stored away. I don't have to eat so much. But if you're a vata, who's lean and thin, so therefore I might have to eat more regularly, smaller amounts, because my digestive power is not so strong. But I need food, energy in the form of food, in order to do some work. And I'm always moving anyhow if I have a vata body. So to know what the different, my different balance of my doshas are in the body, then I'll get a good idea what kind of food, what kind of diet I need. Plus, we should know what food is grown locally, what food is fresh, what the climate is, what the time of the day is. So many factors are there. Like if you're living in a very cold climate and it's the kapha time of the day, or the night, 12 o'clock at night, and you have this craving for ice cream. Cold ice cream. The atmosphere is cold. 12 o'clock at night is in the middle of the night, it's cold. Everything's cold. I'm a kapha constitution, but I just have to eat ice cream. And then you wake up the next morning and you say, I'm sick, I must have caught the flu. Someone must have sneezed on me. That's why I'm sick. What is that? Because of our diet's wrong. Or if you're a pitta constitution, you're really You're always angry and frustrated and competitive. You're always on fire. Everything disturbs you. But you feel you're empowered. You feel you're on fire. And therefore, you love chilies because it makes you even more powerful, more on fire. And then you go to the doctor one day and you find out you have ulcers and you can't understand it because you're a nice person. Well, because that's the way the material nature works. You have too much fire, you add more fire, you'll get more fire. Eventually you'll burn yourself down. If you're always active and you're always doing things, your skin is dry because you're always moving, and you want to have, and your diet is irregular. One day you eat a huge amount, so you fall down unconscious. And the next day you don't eat anything. You think God doesn't love you. Because we know what our constitution is, then we can balance it properly. Eat at the right time, the right amount of meals, the right quantity. And then if we follow it, then we'll actually become healthy. We'll be balanced. Yes.
Prabhupada, when he's commenting this Sadhguru Goswami Ashtaka, he thought that our goal is to come to kneel, like our eating, sleeping, reduce. Then for us,
It'll be a gradual process.
Gradually.
It's not that we're supposed to reduce our eating and then think about eating all day long. Every time you look around, you see a devotee eating. Oh, they're in Maya. Look at that devotee, he's eating. He's a demon. Should be natural, the reduction, not forced. It's forced, it's unnatural, it has no value. Then you'll actually gain weight if you artificially fast like that. Because as soon as you're artificially fast and you look at food, you'll get hungry. And then the body will say, this person is about to eat something, we better clear out all the sugar from the blood. So the body starts storing away sugar in anticipation that you're going to eat something. You don't eat anything. But when you store away food, it stores away in glycogen, which is fat. So you're getting fatter, but you're not eating anything. That is very artificial. It shouldn't be artificial. Not to eat too much or eat too little. And then when we're absorbed, like Rupa Goswami or Raghunath Das Goswami, when we're in the spiritual world, then we won't worry about the body so much. But we're not in the spiritual world quite yet. And we have to take care of the body. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. So many devotees say when we go for Sankirtan, like you should eat a lot and it's no problem.
No problem. Probably the devotees are telling you that he's eating a little couple of chickpeas. Yeah, just eat a lot, Prabhu, no problem. No problem for me. Of course, it's a problem. If you go to, I remember when we were going on Harinam every day. This is 1972. We were making this porridge every day, oat porridge. It was nice and sweet, so you used to eat a lot. And it was like lead. So you go on Harinam, you know, you're like, you're practically falling asleep in the street. So it was a problem. So when I cut it down, well, of course I cut down my eating too little, and then everyone started to criticize me. I was looking too thin. So you have to be a little conscious. Of course it's, if we have a huge fire of digestion, I know devotees It doesn't matter what they eat, they digest it immediately. Immediately burns up because they have such a high fire of digestion. They just look at the food and it burns up. They don't have to eat it. But most of us don't have a fire of digestion like that. And therefore, if we eat too much, we'll get tired. What good is that on sacred time? Excuse me. Did you take all my money?
So if you don't get tired, it's okay to eat a lot?
Who doesn't get tired when you eat a lot? What do you mean by a lot? Yeah, just bring it on. What do you mean by a lot?
I don't know, like one full plate?
How big is the plate?
the place that...
One of the ones that they make the pizza with.
The place that we own a prasadam with downstairs.
I know, you have to judge for yourself. If you have, after eating, if you don't feel like going to sleep, it's a good sign. And after you eat, and you look at a bed, it looks like it's Vaikuntha. I might consider eating a little less. Yes.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, and if someone wants to gain some weight, how to then eat proper?
Well, chew the food. Then it can be digested. And if it digests the food, it can be assimilated better. It's what we assimilate that causes that we gain weight from. It's not just eating more. If we eat more and get sick, we'll lose weight. But if we eat properly and chew the food, digest it, then the body will find its own weight, what it actually needs. If you have a vata constitution, it's very hard to gain weight. It's a waste of time trying to gain too much weight. If you have a kapha constitution, it's very hard to lose it. You may fast, but as soon as you fast for some time, as soon as you look at food, you start gaining weight back. And if you're a pitta, generally speaking, you have a good fire digestion. If you don't misuse it, then therefore, you know, you can eat enough up to the fact that you're hungry, and it'll be all right, so that you're not hungry anymore. So it depends what kind of body one has. One has a vata constitution. He wants to gain weight, it's really a waste of time. Because you probably get sick eating too much. Anything else? Kuala Grantaraj, Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.